That works.
Yes, that really works.
Yeah.
I'm digging it. So what'd you put in this?
I like the Hey, I think we're on the radio. I'm going to put live.
Hi.
Live?
Hello, everybody. And welcome to The Clatch. You're listening to KVSH 101.9. Vashon Island, Washington.
Boom.
Boom.
All those things.
I'm your host, Linda Nygaard. Boom, boom. And here at the table with me are boom, boom, Susan
Ooh.
McCabe and Heidi Skrypek.
Woohoo.
Hi, guys.
I just say hi.
Hi.
How are
I'm
you
Susan.
Today?
Yeah, that's Susan.
She's Heidi.
Mm. Hi. You know,
Heidi Ho.
This is kind of a place where we say it like it is for the
it
clatch.
Is.
You know,
it is.
Somebody asked me the other day why we call it the clatch.
Huh,
and
what
what is the clatch? You know, and I thought everybody knew what a coffee clatch is, but apparently not. So this is our invitation to join us at a coffee clatch, which Merriam-Webster defines as an informal social gathering for coffee and conversation. And coffee clatch comes from the German word Kaffeeklatsch, which translates to coffee and gossip.
Oh. Perfect.
Boom.
Once again,
boom.
Got that.
So thank you for listening, and we welcome you to our table, to our coffee clatch, because mm-hmm. it's all of us who are involved here.
Yay.
And golly, we're glad to be back in the studio. I have so much to talk about. Let's get started.
Okay.
What's new in your world, Heidi?
What's new? Our 23 little peepers that are currently in my greenhouse, and I should be a good person and plug it in, but actually, let me see if you can even hear it. Let's just try.
Oh, yeah, they're little beeping.
Oh. That's what my greenhouse sounds like right now.
Oh,
that's so wonderful. How many did you get?
Well, I ordered 25. Mm-hmm. I think they threw in a bonus, which they do unless you deselect free exotic bonus chick with your batch.
Oh.
But I think they still did it, or they just lost count of packing the ones that I legitimately ordered.
Mm-hmm.
There was one tragedy, actually a few tragedies, because in our greenhouse on the floor, we have this little goldfish pond
mm-hmm.
built in,
mm-hmm.
and we were going to net it. And typically, when you receive hatchlings that are just 48 hours old, they don't have the type of vim and vigor that were in this particular batch,
mm-hmm.
and they found their way to the fish pond.
Oh, no.
So I had
They drowned?
Three of them drowned.
Oh, baby.
And fourth one was about to drown, and I rescued it, and it's fine.
Did you have to do CPR?
I'm trying to imagine CPR.
No, I was so freaked out.
Oh, poor little thing.
Yeah, my old swim coach, Alan, was visiting the island, and he came for eggs, and it was only an hour. I had gone in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Let them all snuggle up in their little cute little fuzzy wuzzy pile and came back and I said, let me show you what happened. And, you know, I opened up the thing and then over to the side, I see these floating poof balls motionless.
Aww.
And I was like, I can't believe I'm actually telling you this online.
This is hard for real.
But it was so awful. And I just told Alan, hold on a second. And just really just with a swoop, I grabbed all of them and then I saw one still moving. And so I grabbed her out and I just kind of quickly just threw them into this basket that I have, the deceased ones, and thought, oh, I'll come back to them and try to see if any of them have any pulse or I can bring them back somehow.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I did bring the one back. I dried her off and put her right underneath the heat lamp,
mm-hmm.
and she came back. I
oh,
thought,
good.
Oh, she's going to be so obvious. She's going to be like the little yellow bus chick.
Yeah. So are all these hens who are going to lay eggs for you?
Yes.
And how many do you have now?
We have 24 with the rooster. So we have 23 hens and one roo that are full size now.
Wow.
And boy, are they laying. They are
and
laying.
And how long does it take chickens to lay? Like, when do they start?
6 months.
Yeah. And
average.
Then they're called pullets and they lay little eggs.
Yeah. And they're pullets up through their first year.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, even those little chicks are considered pullets.
They are.
Until 1 year of age. And then they're Then they become hens. And
I wonder when we became hens.
Puberty.
Yeah.
It's a hen party.
It's
That's
a hen
they,
party.
They call the bachelorette parties.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I never take offense at being called a hen. You know, maybe if somebody said, you old hen, that might. But, you know, it's a hen gathering or let's have the hens over for coffee.
The hens.
I mean, I think it's kind of cute.
So, yeah.
I haven't laid eggs in a long time.
Yeah, I think I've dropped my last one recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what's new in my world.
Babe, what's new in yours, Susan?
Gosh, I wish I had something exciting to report. I'm painting walls.
Mm-hmm.
Not. I told somebody the other day I was going to be painting. and they went, oh, wow, cool. Yeah, no.
Watercolor?
Michelangelo, I am not. Yeah. Although yeah. I feel like it. I'm painting ceilings.
Well, oh. Yeah. Oh, ah. That's hard.
Lying
that's
on
hard.
My back.
Well, you're getting there. Oh. You're getting yeah. there. We're yeah. almost there.
Do you yeah. have massage?
Every part of my body uh-huh. aches when I wake mm-hmm. up in the morning.
Oh, those so. Muscles. The ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
My
that's God. Hard. Holding the arms up all the time. Just you know.
You should
all
see
the...
these two women in the studio. They both have their arms above their heads acting like they're painting.
Yeah.
It's just a little color commentary there.
Oh, thank you.
But that feeling, I've done a kitchen ceiling,
mm-hmm.
and the next day and the days that followed
mm-hmm.
were brutal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
That's There's a you... lot of Celebrex and ibuprofen in my life.
Yeah.
Celebrex
Although, is
you know,
pretty
when
good stuff.
I get up and walk in the morning,
mm-hmm.
it really helps.
Oh, that's good.
It
kind
of warms
good.
Everything up, and I get it going, and I'm ready
I'm
to start
I'm so
again.
Glad you're at the... You're not at the finish line, but you're sure in the final stretch.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, yeah. That's really good. So well, as for me, I've been cleaning.
Oh.
Spring cleaning, going through things, trying to figure out what can stay and what needs to leave. It seems like that's a constant in my life. Rearranging. So people shake their heads when I say, well, I rearranged my living room. And they're like, oh, God, not again.
Yeah, right.
So anyway, this has been really fun because I've been going through old files and old boxes of things that I haven't looked at in years. And I found my first passbook from my very first savings account.
Oh, cool.
And it's something my mom held on to. And it started in 1957, which meant I was 6 years old.
Oh, wow.
And it started with 50 cents and then it went to 20 or whatever. I don't know. And then it all added up to a very tidy sum when I was 18 years old. And then at 18, I took it out and went to college. You know, it was like my spending
oh,
money.
Did it pay
money
for college? Oh, no.
Oh, gosh, no. It was pin money, you know. Uh-huh. But it was a sizable. It was like $2,000.
Wow.
You know,
that's so
that I
cool.
had saved over my little jobs in high school and all that kind of stuff. So I had forgotten about that. And then I also found my grandfather's World War One diary.
Whoa.
Oh,
and
wow.
I had forgotten I had that. And it's really an incredible look at history and what he felt when he was in France. What he heard, what he saw, sleeping in shell holes at night and mud up to your ankles. And he talked about his Christmas meal, which was hardtack and brandy. And, you know.
Sounds very manly.
And yes. there was one particular entry in there that I remember reading years ago, and it still sticks with me. He talks about how they were marching up over a hill in France, and they came to a promontory point where they could look out and see everything around them. And what they saw were fields of rusty grain. I don't know if you know, but if the grain gets wet, it can turn a rusty color.
Mm. Okay.
And that's what they thought it was until they got closer and realized it was miles and miles of rusted barbed wire rolls that the Germans had put there so they couldn't get through.
Oh my.
Wow.
So my grandpa's job was infantry, and he was helping make the roads for all the people that were coming with the tanks and the trucks and all of that. And so they had to dig their way, I don't know, cut through that barbed wire or
yeah.
something. And, you know, he talked about sleeping in muddy shell holes. That's where they slept.
Wow.
Just pull a, you know, cape up over you. And
it is. It's really hard to imagine that.
Isn't it?
To try and put yourself in that position and imagine, I mean, okay, so maybe you've been camping and the mm-hmm. tent got wet.
Mm-hmm.
That's about as close as we get to that kind
right.
of thing.
Right, and you're not all day walking in mud up to your ankles,
yeah.
you know. Mm-mm-mm. And another thing, in the back of his little tiny book, he had kept track of missing in action and killed with his group of people. And he also kept track of gambling money, who owed him what.
They were placing bets.
Yeah, and I wonder if he ever got paid.
Did he cross-reference those lists?
Yeah, I wonder if he ever got paid, but... Anyway,
I'm seeing a pattern.
Yeah. Oh, and I wanted to, oh, Also, one more thing I found that's just, it just killed me when I found it. It's a little tiny itty bitty bracelet. It's little beads, and it's about the size of a 50 cent piece around. And it's pink and white beads with Nygaard. And it's the bracelet that they put on me at the hospital when my mom brought me home.
Oh.
And then I found the hospital bill. From my mom and dad.
How much did it cost?
$10.
Yeah. Wow.
I cost $10 to birth.
Wow.
Such a deal.
I know.
Really.
So, you know, everybody says, oh my gosh, I got to go through all this stuff and do all this. And I don't want to. I don't want to either. But I'll tell you what, there's treasures in our old stuff that we have forgotten about and don't know about. And it's just a gift to look at some of those things. And of course I kept those things. There were several sort of love
treasures,
letters and stupid things that I, you know, pitched because I don't need them anymore. But I've been concentrating on rearranging my living room again.
Again? Just
this is at least weekly for you.
No, but it's not.
Feels quarterly. Like
I say quarterly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If I would come home and my ex-husband had rearranged the furniture, I would go nuts.
You can't do it with somebody when you're living with somebody else.
Somebody said, don't ever marry a blind guy.
Yeah.
It's true.
You're going to rearrange things that frequently.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
You know, I'm so happy the sun is out right now.
Yes.
I feel like I need sunglasses. I came over squinting and blinking because the sun was so bright and we haven't seen it in what feels like years.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're watching birth itself, you know, and I especially feel like that when I look at hyacinths. Have you looked at a hyacinth before it opens?
I have some little grape hyacinths.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And they're just little tiny bellies. Oh, they look like little pregnant bellies. Uh-huh. And then pretty soon, boom, there they are. So we're in spring.
Yeah, it's happening all over.
Yeah, it's really
nice.
I
love it. It's wonderful just to walk every day and see what buds have come out now.
And we're so lucky to be on Vashon to do that. You know, it's really wonderful. So switching subjects just a little bit, how are we coping with, let's talk about the gas prices. Let's talk about that. And is there anything that's changing in your world because of increase in prices? I know one thing we talked about earlier is, you know, people in Europe are accustomed to paying ungodly prices, and they don't drive like we do, and they don't have 10-foot tall pickups with, you know, 18 tires on them, you know,
and they don't complain,
and they don't complain,
right? Because that's all they've known. Yeah.
Well, you know, I read some articles about how to conserve gas, and if you're, you know, really in need to do that. I don't drive very much. I mean, I stay pretty much on the island, but carpooling. I've been carpooling a little bit if I have to go over town or something. Is there anything you guys are doing or thinking about, or were you shocked? I paid $70 to fill my car up.
Yeah, that's
and then
painful.
When I thought, well, I'm not sitting in a basement
Ukraine. Yeah, we've been driving my Fiat instead of Luke's big SUV when we have to drive, but just trying to drive less.
Exactly. Yeah.
I keep saying I want to get my bike out and make it work because I love bicycling, but I haven't done that.
Well, you will.
Yeah.
It's
hopefully.
It's
but
not
I,
very
yeah.
much fun to bicycle in the rain.
No.
It's just not.
True.
How about you, Heidi? Are you doing anything different, or are you just going with it?
Making a concerted effort, and I've always done this, but it's to just tag on all of my errands at one time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
right.
I really don't drive that much, maybe 3 or 4 times per week. Mm-hmm. And just, we're talking into Vashon Central Center,
to
the north
end.
So it's easy. It's really easy. And I don't care how much it costs. Whatever it is, I will pay it.
Mm-hmm.
Just try not to drive that much. That's it.
You know, there's a columnist in the Washington Post, Catherine Rampel, who wrote an article, an opinion piece today, and it was titled "Looking for a Villain on Whom to Blame."
Oh, I read that.
The gas prices. And she went through all the possibilities and how none of them, like the Republicans are saying it's because Joe Biden shut down the
Keystone.
The Keystone pipeline.
Which has nothing to do with it.
Which wasn't even started during Trump's administration. Shutting it down would make no difference whatsoever.
I read this morning that the Keystone pipeline was 1/8 completed. I mean, it's like a tiny, tiny bit. It's not even built yet.
Yeah. Right.
So
yeah. That's
irrelevant.
Not it.
Right.
And basically, she also said the Republicans are saying it's because Biden has enacted all these climate laws. He hasn't.
He hasn't.
He really honestly hasn't done much for the climate at all. In fact, he's tried to encourage American oil companies to produce more now.
Right.
So, you know, the point is there really is no villain unless it's the oil the competition, I think, between the Middle East oil companies and American oil companies and
the Russian
oil companies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Russian oil doesn't affect the price of gas in the U.S. much at all either.
No, that's what I've read anyway.
So, yeah, I think it's just people trying to make hay while they can.
Mm.
And it's so convenient. You see a lot of posts, thanks, Biden, you know, with the gas tank, and it's like, thanks, Biden. Or,
well, they're driving their giant SUV.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
But, you know, a couple of years ago when the pandemic started, people were starting to drive less and recognize that, we need to downsize on cars and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? We went right back to boom, boom.
Even recently, the cost of oil went down per barrel.
It did.
But the gas prices didn't.
No.
Yes, right.
How about that? Because
what does that
guess
tell
who's
you?
In control of that?
Yeah.
Not Biden.
Let's do some math on
exactly.
that.
Yeah, really.
What, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So what about what about COVID? You know, we were talking about when the pandemic first started, and we usually like to have a little COVID update. And now that we don't have a mask mandate, how do you guys feel about that?
There's still some mask mandate for public transportation.
Well, right. Yeah, but okay, I mean, right. You can go to a restaurant. You can walk.
Yes.
Away. You can do just about anything now without a mask. I mean, you know, doctor's office and bus rides aside.
I think at this point, it's about personal choice.
I think so, too.
You know, the Seattle school kids were asking for the mandate to come back. And I'm thinking, well, so just put your mask on.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess they're concerned about people who are not wearing the masks. But if you're wearing your mask, you're pretty well protected if that and vaccination.
Yeah.
So, you know, what else is there to do? And the whole new B2 thing is very unclear as to how serious it is. Apparently it's more contagious.
Oh, you're talking about the Omicron?
The new variant.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes,
the new
yes,
one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, I wasn't tracking very well.
Well,
it?
I don't. I think from what I've read, at least the most recent thing I've read, says it is highly contagious, but not deadly like COVID. But I don't know what to believe. So I'm going to keep my mask on.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
I think, choose what makes you feel comfortable. We had a play reading last night, Fashion Repertory Theater, and one of the folks involved in the play reading had come from New York, and she was among the first in New York to get COVID, and
she got really
sick. She spent 9 months recovering with her parents, and she's still recovering. She has neurological damage.
Oh, that's horrible.
Well, that's a scary, scary thing about long COVID, they call it.
Yeah, right.
We just still don't know. One thing I learned, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the fourth dose, you know, the second booster, however they want to frame it. And I read an article, probably in the New York Times, that there are no government funds to provide the COVID
booster, the fourth shot
for many Americans. They do have enough for people over 65 and those with compromised immune systems, but they don't have enough for the general public.
Enough money or enough medicine or both?
Ooh,
funds.
Question.
They don't have funds.
Okay.
So I suspect that will change. I hope it does.
Well, I think that's
if we need the fourth one, I don't know.
I think that's something that Congress has to vote on in the budget. And if they want to thwart everything that Biden is trying to do, they might very well vote against it because it would be about increasing the COVID or the pandemic protection funding.
Right.
And you know, they don't want to do anything that looks like
good
stuff that Biden might be doing.
So, in other words, we're in another waiting game. yeah. and we'll see what happens, uh-huh. you know. You know, when we talked about what we were going to talk about today, for our listeners, we usually have a little confab about what we're going to do and what we're going to talk about, what topics we have, what topics we like. And it was raining really hard when we talked about what we were going to do today, and now it's not raining, so this seems a little out of place, but it's pretty interesting,
oh,
I think.
It'll be back.
Yeah, it'll be back. I'm sure it'll be back.
Tomorrow.
Wait 20 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about rain and the kind of rain that we're having, and you know, you get pelted by the rain, or sometimes it soothes you. It's just a little mist. And did you know that the Japanese have 50 words for rain?
I think that's so cool.
It is, but they're it's like different. They have two different words for rain shower. It depends on what kind of a shower it is. I can't say the words, but they have. Jaku is weak rain, and light rain is different from weak rain. They have fine rain, misty rain, drizzle, heavy rain, severe rain, driving rain, intense rain, severe localized downpour.
Severe localized downpour. That's a squall.
What's that word?
Yeah, that must be a squall. And then there's wind and rain and freezing rain and rain then snow. Rain then snow. That's one word. I just think
rain and snow.
Rain and snow. Yeah. I just think it's really interesting, and I don't know any more about it than that, other than it's really fun that they have that many words.
Well, our own Richard Rogers,
oh,
here on Voice of
Richard.
Fashion.
Hello, Richard. I know you're listening.
A book, 100 words for rain.
Did he make these
in
words
English,
up?
I believe he did. Here's one that I think is kind of, fog and rain is frain.
Frain.
Rain and fog is rog. Frost and fog is frosk. I can't pronounce it.
Frosk.
Fog and clouds is flouty.
What? Fog?
Fog and clouds, flouty.
Flouty.
Like why not?
Snow and sun, snowbow.
Snowbow.
Sun and frost, frost. Sun and rain, sane.
What is that one that says rainbow?
Rain and sun.
Rain and sun.
Rainbow.
Rainbow.
He didn't make that up.
Didn't he?
I don't think so.
I've never heard that word.
Frost and sun is frostbow.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we survived the rain the last few days. It's been pretty intense. Heidi, did you have anything you want to say about rain?
As I pondered this, I think about there probably are 50 words in English that don't have the word rain in it that are rainy words, like deluge, right? And torrential. And I mean, I feel like we can see them and raise them in English. And you think about German. I was imagining the Japanese list, especially how Germans, they compound their words. So you probably end up with this giant, I didn't look it up, but I wish I had. There's probably some really long word for pouring rain, slamming on the ground with a concrete smell.
And it's cold.
Yeah, and cold, of course. Yeah.
Well, and I think some of the rain that happens this time of year when the earth is revitalizing smells like poop. Because it's kind of like
it is kind of like
the decayed stuff is coming up.
Yeah. I have a friend who just moved back to the Pacific Northwest after having been in San Diego for 4 years, 4 or 5 years. She and her husband want to come home, and he can work remotely because he works for a company in Europe, so he can just be anywhere. And they moved back to Tacoma on Wednesday of last week, and so, you know, she's here for the deluge. And I said, so how is it? And she said, oh, I just love it. And she said, the second I got off the plane, the smell was so wonderful to smell the earth and the rain. And the wet of the Northwest, because we do have a different fragrance.
Oh, definitely.
Smell the trees and the grass growing. And so she's quite delighted to be here and is not unhappy about the rain at all.
Isn't my kids come to visit from L.A., they want it to rain.
Oh, they want that signature Pacific Northwest thing. Mm-hmm. There's a poem. One of you send it, and it was something about you should smell like the earth when you come back in from being outside.
Mm. That sounds wonderful.
Someone sent it.
I don't think I did.
Darn it. It wasn't me.
I didn't dream.
Or if I did, I forgot.
It's real. Yeah.
Which wouldn't surprise me either.
Damn. So let's take a second because we have some fabulous underwriters.
We need to
give our props to.
Right.
Voice of Vashon thanks Windermere Real Estate for its support, making our community information programming and our emergency alert service possible. Find them on the web at windermerevashon.com.
VOV programming support is provided by the Hardware Store Restaurant, serving great good food, free Wi-Fi, and signature cocktails in an historic 125-year-old building, the heartbeat of Vashon Island, on the web at thsrestaurant.com.
And we're back.
And we're back.
Thank you, all our underwriters. We wouldn't be here, literally, without you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what would we do? We'd have to think of something else.
We'd be having coffee by ourselves and no one else would be listening.
Yeah.
Which could be what's happening right now.
Oh, there's metrics. There's ways to see it, but yeah, I don't want to see. I don't want to know.
We don't want to know that right now.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
That's right.
You know, speaking of rain and spring and chickens and all of that, mm-hmm. What's going on in your gardens?
Oh, I have had such a good time planning my garden.
Have you?
Yes.
Okay.
I decided I want to grow the stuff that's going to be too expensive to buy in the store.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Arugula,
yes.
Artichokes.
Right.
I'd like to grow avocados. I don't know if I can. And you, Heidi, the gardening mistress.
Keep going.
Lady goddess.
Keep
might
talking.
Know.
Okay.
Of course, the usual kale, which I honestly don't have to replant. It just keeps coming back.
It just keeps growing.
I realize why this is such a popular global mm-hmm. green, because mm-hmm. it grows anywhere and mm-hmm. nothing kills it.
It absolutely does. It grows yeah. like crazy, and not just one type. Which type are you doing?
I think it's Tuscan.
Uh-huh. That's my favorite.
Yeah, my favorite too. And then chard and spinach, the usual onions, mm-hmm. The stuff that we go through a lot.
And you have raised beds.
We have wonderful raised
really
beds.
Really nice.
Yeah, we barely have to bend over, mm-hmm. except when we plant things. After yeah. that, it pretty much does it on its own thing.
That's really nice.
Do you buy dirt every year, or do you just use existing or compost?
We're composting.
That's awesome.
You good girl.
Yes.
You just mix it in, and it's good to go. I was looking for the list. I bought a whole bunch of stuff from Territorial Seed.
Oh, I love that catalog.
Oh, good.
It's so good. Mm-hmm. The illustrations. It's like
wonderful.
The signs of Met Market when you walk through the one down on Admiral. It's so fabulous.
It's like gardening porn.
Yeah. There's red cabbage, and I'm growing a Napa cabbage this year that I don't usually like cabbage, but New York Times has turned me on to some great recipes. Like,
ooh, I love cabbage.
Cut mm-hmm. those wedges, stick it underneath a roast chicken drippings, and you're living.
We talked about that last week. Yeah,
we did
talk about that. That's really good. And another really good cabbage thing is, you know, we love cabbage rolls. Why are we talking about food? But we don't have to make cabbage rolls.
Because we're gardening.
We can make a deconstructed cabbage roll dish, and it's just your cabbage and your burger and your onions and your rice and tomatoes.
Just throw it
in
all
a casserole. Just put it in, pop it in the oven, and you got it.
Deconstructed.
I can definitely do that.
Yeah.
And so, cabbage is loaded with nutrients, vitamin C, and all kinds of other good stuff.
I wouldn't think of it being so loaded, but I think you're right. Yeah, it's all growing. The greenhouse is loaded with seed trays. That the seedlings are now about 4 or 5 inches and starting to get.
That's wonderful.
Toward the put them in 4-inch pot
phase. Right? Yeah. I've got to do that.
I'm glad you guys have gardens, and I'll come over and help.
By extension, you will be getting some of the food out of that.
That's
zucchini
really nice.
Every year.
Oh,
actually, I don't grow it.
I think that's smart.
So there's so much of it around.
Yeah,
there is.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
And when
zucchini season is when you lock your car door.
I'm gonna say just don't. Okay, just don't.
I'm not. I don't know. Thank you.
So we've talked about our sort of hobbies and spare times and things that we like to do, gardening,
can't
chickens,
get enough.
That kind of thing. Let's talk about how our work world has changed or is changing. I read an article, New York Times, again, of course, that talks about that 30%, this is a survey that happened last year, and 30% of workers they surveyed said that they would highly consider getting a new job if their boss made them come into the office again.
Yes.
The millennials, of course, are particularly resistant. But places like Pepsi and General Motors have come out and done, you know, what am I trying to say? Remote work is okay in those places. So there's kind of a trend, but it's creating a flexible workplace for people. And flex time, employees, that kind of thing. And I'm wondering, are you, Heidi, you're doing remote all the time.
Yeah, I go.
Being a contractor, of course.
Once a week, though, I go into one office downtown at Columbia and Western, they're actually going to give up their office after having this office for 16 or 17 years.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal.
Just, you know, that makes you wonder about the state of commercial real estate.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen with all those office buildings?
Affordable housing.
That would be...
Affordable?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, if they're going to lose money on that big building, I don't know. I'm an idealist, you know that. Right. And I just think they should do it. So
there was a renter for that space right away. I mean, it's such a cool space.
Huh.
It's right where... the Daily Journal of Commerce is sort of in that zone.
Oh,
it's right by the ferry. And when that park, that waterfront park, opens up again.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have the capital that you can come in and actually afford a lease, and it's obscene what they're charging.
I'm sure.
Oh, but, I imagine.
I mean, there was a point where it was like, it's just me and two of the agency owners coming in. It's this giant, beautiful, lofty workspace that accommodates 25 people. It's stupid. It's like, what are
it
we
is.
Doing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so much of this change is about what are we doing. And I think there are many factors that have played into this. One is that my sister worked in Russia years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a professional psychologist. And the people in Russia called America a work camp with good food.
Mm-hmm.
So the American work ethic, which is basically kill yourself for the corporation,
right,
is waning. People, because they can, because there's a shortage of workers, people have decided they're just not going to work for slave wages anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think also because they did stay home and they did realize that
absolutely,
a work-life balance is incredibly important.
In 2020, 700,000 parents of young children left the workplace.
They said, we're out.
So we're done.
Out. Yeah.
We're done. 700,000.
That's significant.
Well, and those are women who are not supported by the culture, the
right.
government, or the corporations with childcare.
Mm-hmm. You're totally right.
Mm-hmm.
The local tech offices, almost every single one, have announced formal return to work plans. And almost everyone, to your point, Linda, they're going on hybrid work schedules.
Right.
They want people back in the offices, so they're not giving up those offices anytime soon. The agency I was at is an independent marketing agency.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's different than a big giant tech employer.
Sure.
And so honestly, if you don't have that type of hybrid offering now, you're going to lose your people.
You'll lose your people.
So fast, because there's a dearth of at all levels of jobs. There's a dearth of workers.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, come on in.
Mm-hmm.
We'll let you work 3 days a week from home. And so you're seeing a lot of that. But it's happened. Right now, that commute is stacked up again. The foot fare is busier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, in reference to my friend who moved back to the Northwest, her husband works for an international company based in Paris. And so they don't care where he works. It's fine.
So
and
cool.
So he, you know, so they're moved back. They're happy. Paris. It's all going to be perfect.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is people are starting to pay attention to their own lives, to their own clock. And like she said, he's up in the middle of the night sometimes, you know, talking to Paris, talking to the people in France or somewhere else in Europe. And then sometimes he's on his own work schedule for maybe, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning until 3 o'clock. And then he goes back maybe at 7. And she said, it's so good to see him be able to do that because he's reacting to his own internal schedule. And, you know, the biological signals that we have in our bodies that tell us when to stop, when to rest, when to start are something that we never or haven't traditionally paid much attention to.
Right. The American work ethic convinces you you can't do that.
No, it's the early bird
you're
gets the worm
to, yes,
thing. And
right.
that's not necessarily true.
And the late, like, don't eat early out because you would be get the side eye from your colleagues.
Yeah.
Been there, done that with kids.
Yes.
You know?
Be the one that stays there all night long.
Yes.
That's the example they want to set.
You're punching the clock at 5.
It does nothing for productivity.
In
fact, it's probably
actually, I have some information on that.
Please elaborate.
Well.
Tell us.
So there's a study that found out that supervisors who are early birds, you know, they're in the office 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, perceive their employees who arrive later as lazy and poor job performers. And that's their perception. But what they don't understand is that these people who come in a little bit later, if they were to come in that much earlier, they would be sleep deprived. They wouldn't have their own schedule to move through. They're not going to be productive at that point. And, you know, we need to listen to our own internal clock.
You know, I think it's about measuring a person's effectiveness by the product, not by whether they do it my way or on my schedule. Do they deliver what I've asked them to give me? And is it of good quality? How they get there doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I think it's really interesting. We're in a time of unique change. You know, we're changing. Relationships are changing. Our friendships are changing. Our obligations are changing. Everything's changing right now. And I love it that the workplace is changing. There's a professor at University of Texas. Her name is Donna Ballard. And she has a good story she likes to tell about people working on their own schedule. And she said her family, several years ago, her family got hooked on fresh eggs, like those golden yellow yolks that we love so much, laid by pasture-raised chickens, and how beautiful they are. You know that, Heidi.
Yes.
And one week, suddenly, there were no eggs. And she, you know, being a new chicken person, didn't understand why aren't they laying?
She didn't know.
She didn't know that the chickens were molting. And she didn't know that they periodically drop their feathers and regrow them as a process to physiologically demand that their body works the way it's supposed to work. That has to do with the whole rhythm of losing feathers and growing feathers. And
They're reset.
It's what it is. And they're following their natural cycle.
Yes.
And we don't. So Dr. Ballard, who's a psychologist, immediately saw an analogy to people. And though people are often forced into rigid, sort of standardized routines, we are biological beings. And our productivity ebbs and flows over the course of a single day. And she also noted that what happens when you're working really hard, really hard, really hard every day, it can take you a week to reset your biological clock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you go about it working in a less frantic way and maybe taking more breaks, taking more walks, you get done more quickly. And it doesn't take you so long to recover from your work day, which, you know, I think it's pretty wonderful. One thing that she was talking about, too, is don't depend on your remote workers to just be there all the time.
Yeah.
They might be working at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and they might be working at 10 o'clock at night, but they're getting the job done.
So don't expect an instant response to
right,
your email.
Right. Yeah. And so in closing, she said that Dr. Ballard said, the chickens, they had this pace. They had this pace they'd like to go out. We also have that. Every day, every minute can't be the same.
Yeah.
You know, so I just, I love that story.
So yeah. I want to back up because you mentioned relationships are changing. Mm-hmm. How do you see that? How do you think relationships are changing?
I can only speak to that from a personal point. For me personally, the relationships that I love and hold on to have grown deeper and more, more pertinent. They're more important to me. And the relationships, you know, I'm not married, so I don't that's not a relationship I'm talking about. I'm talking about my friends and my family and maybe some acquaintances I only sort of know. But what else has happened is the ones that were only sort of okay or weren't okay, but I did it because you just do. You're just so nice. Aren't really there anymore.
That's
and it's through no argument or statement or I'm not the only one who feels this way. You know,
right,
I'm thinking, so I don't call her anymore and I don't call her anymore and we don't go there. I don't go there with her. We don't do that
and
anymore.
And they're not calling
me.
Yeah.
And it's fine. It's just, and when we see each other next time, it's going to be, hi, how are you? It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But we don't have to pretend. And I also really believe that with all of the death that we have experienced in this last 6 years, four years, however long it's been, 2 years with COVID, but I, you know who was a bit of a death. too.
Oh, that.
Yeah, oh, that.
Death of democracy, sure.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
we've been watching that.
But with all the death that we have experienced as a nation, as a world, and in our personal lives, I think it's something we have to look at when we're judging our own input. Where do we want to put our energy? Because I'm going to die someday.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to die. And do I want to waste time with this or with that? Or do I want to have some more meaningful discussion or relationship?
You know, you said...
Does that answer your question?
Yes. You, Linda, sent us this great article about Stoicism.
Mm.
And one of the things you just reminded me of from that article was their talk about... remember that your loved one may be dead tomorrow. So kiss your child and say,
you may be dead tomorrow.
You may be gone. Yeah. Which says, embrace life right now. Mm-hmm. Engage and stay engaged in what is true, what's truly important.
And that was that guy whose name we can't read.
Epictetus.
He was. I think in the year 4th century.
So many ways you can say that.
He was in the 1200s.
Okay.
And his attitude was, you can't control anything, and there's nothing you can do anything about. So, you know, he says you might wake up one morning and think you're going to have this fabulous day, but it rains on your parade, there's nothing you can do about that. So get on with it.
Except how you react.
Right. Except how you react.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. He says, in the case of particular things that delight you or benefit you or to which you have grown attached, remind yourself of what those things are. Start with things of little value. If it's a ceramic cup you like, for instance, say, I'm fond of this ceramic cup, but if it breaks... It'll be fine. And then he says, when giving your wife or a child a kiss, repeat to yourself, I am kissing a mortal.
Mm.
You know, it's like, yeah, we may just need to get ready for the reality of we're going to lose everything. What is that Buddhist thing? Nothing is permanent.
Nothing is personal. Nothing is personal, permanent, or perfect.
Or perfect. So, and that's kind of what Epictetus was saying. And you can always, always choose how you respond.
Yes.
And then another quote I loved was from Seneca. And he said, to be lucky all the time and go through life without mental distress is to remain ignorant of half of the natural world. You know?
And this is where I felt vindicated.
You did.
Because I think one of the things he said was rehearse for the worst.
Yes.
Which is what I do, and people keep telling me, you're so negative. Well, my thing is prepare for the worst, hope for the best.
Yeah.
And I feel much calmer when I feel like I can handle whatever is coming next. So I'm not negative.
I don't think of you as negative. I think,
realistic.
You know, when you're planning, let's play corporation. We're making our plan for next year. What's the worst thing that can happen? You always make, if we do this, what's the worst thing that can happen? We always do that in the corporate world. And then you have that out there, but you hope you're not going to go there.
But it kind of flies in the face of the whole American think positive.
Oh, I know, but that's
and
just
it's
such...
all good.
Yeah.
That's mental illness.
It's
insanity.
It's religious fervor.
That's true, too.
Oh, there's that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy, we could go there and probably get lots of letters.
Another thing that Epictetus says is see every challenge as a learning opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So on this show, we have spent some time talking about what we learned from COVID. What did we learn about ourselves, about our country, and all the little things or the big things that come up, block us, challenge us. In the end, if you look back at that, you did learn something from it. Maybe it wasn't good, but it gives us a chance to understand life in general.
Well, you know, the truth isn't, you don't necessarily, if you can avoid putting a value judgment on it, the truth is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth, as they say, will set you free. And you might learn something from the truth. It's, to my mind, I'd like to know the truth so I know whether I'm going to step through a hole mm-hmm. or not mm-hmm. as I'm walking through life.
Well, and, you know, really talking about pre-planning for the worst.
Yeah.
You know, pre-planning for the worst. Like you said, when you do that, you know, okay, I know what could happen. Mm-hmm. But you feel emotionally more at rest because you've already seen it. You've designed it. So now we're going to ignore it and move forward.
Well, that could be the hard part. Sometimes you kind of carry it around in your head and mm-hmm. let it eat away at you, which is not a good thing to do.
No. But and then, you know,
Epictetus probably wouldn't like that.
Well, he says don't, well, he didn't say spin your wheels, I'm sure, but don't spin your wheels by worrying.
Yeah.
Because we're, you know, and when we're in stress, like we have been, keep to the simple facts, not to the what ifs. Oh my mm-hmm. God, this is mine. But the facts, here are the facts. And that will help you outline things.
Yeah. Worry, shame, and guilt. Big waste of energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's true.
And then the other thing that the Stoics held in their main goal of life was to excel at being human, which means to help others.
Huh.
Be helping others and protect yourself emotionally. But we can't go through life. We're not human if we're not helping. We're not. That's not human. It's human nature to want to help the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Not so. All of us.
You are that
no,
way.
No, I'm not saying, no, I'm not backing. Oh. I'm saying there's plenty of supposed humans out there who really don't care about helping the other person. They want to just help themselves. And they're the ones who are unfortunately running the show.
Essentially, what the Stoics are saying is take the long view, take what comes, and remember, this too shall pass. You know?
Like a kidney stone.
Yeah, sorry. Basically.
The other thing that I felt really good about reading was it pays to be grumpy and bad-tempered, so I'm practicing.
Don't you love that? Because really, kind of grumpy. Somebody said, I talked with Kate O'Kane the other day. We were talking about some stuff that's going on in England. And, you know, she was talking about how we just have to get ready for the very worst. I forgot what you just said that made me think of Kate.
Grumpy and bad-tempered.
Oh, yeah. She said,
Kate.
Hi, Kate. She's working so hard. And I said, so how are you? And she said, oh, basically, I'm pretty grumpy. And I said, well, me too. But that's nothing new for me. I said, it's new for you. But being grumpy helps you, I think. It helps you figure out what's wrong.
You sort through your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And are we feeling gratitude at the moment?
We are.
I feel gratitude. What are we grateful for?
Our underwriters.
Okay.
This portion of Voice of Ashon programming is brought to you by PSCCU, proud to be Washington's Green Credit Union, practicing socially responsible banking by supporting sustainability, job creation, local economies, communities statewide, and our environment. Learn more at psccu.org.
Can't do what we do without our underwriters, like Vashon Market IGA and Vashon Plaza, one block west of the main highway, where you can find everything your family needs, from fresh produce to kids' specials, legendary meats, wine, spirits, and movies. Open daily from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Hello.
Wanted to go back to when I was talking about taking the foot ferry over to downtown Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also extremely grateful that we have a ferry to take, foot ferry and car ferry.
Yes.
Because recently in England, a very bad thing happened. Well, they still have the ferries, but they don't have their usual longtime pensioner ferry workers.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah. So last week, good old DP, which is essentially owned as a subsidiary of the government of Dubai.
Right.
Sultan declared it was time to make some changes.
He laid off 800 people by video.
Yes. The Zoom call of the year.
Yeah. And then announced that he was going to be replacing them with cheaper workers.
Third party employment.
Mm-hmm.
And if you scroll through Twitter, they were hired at about average $14.50 an hour in British pounds. So whatever.
The current employees or the new people?
The newbies, the newbies, yeah.
What were the current employees? Do you know?
They were union scale.
Yeah, probably at least twice.
So did he slash the union too?
Yeah, they're fighting union. They're having a union. The Union faces powerful powerful foes in this Sultan. He's not a ruler who likes anything organized that he doesn't organize himself.
Exactly.
He, you know, he owns horse racing operations all over the world. Mm-hmm. He's got a huge portfolio of businesses and projects that manage more than 70 million shipping containers a year.
I'm in the wrong business.
Really? Although, yeah. Going back to our previous conversation, is this one of the, quote, humans that is happier when he's
Quickly, some of the comments from the devastated workers. I mean, the workers were devastated.
Sure.
I mean, they'd lost their pensions. They lost everything. And meanwhile, the shareholders are waiting for record-producing dividends, profit. But they described, a couple people described that, you know, what it feels like to be sacked on a video and then thrown off the ships. Like, they had to leave the ships when they docked and their belongings were in bins. They just herded them off.
Immediate.
So,
Did he explain why he was doing this or what his thought? So what was the point?
Supposedly it was revenue losses of low ridership. Well, guess what? Everybody had low ridership.
Guess what? There was a pandemic.
Hello.
I know.
And the worst part is that they were telling, DP was telling Britain's government, you know, this is not penciling out. This isn't going well. Maybe you should come up with some relief money to keep P&O running. Mm-hmm. So during COVID, they actually came up with more than 10 million or something just to float the workers.
The British government did
sort of their own sort of relief.
Yeah.
Pandemic.
Taking care of their people.
And then here we are just edging through it. And they've announced, you know, following Brexit, we still believe we want to keep something like it was in 2021 that the Sultan made a reference about Brexit and the EU and how they wanted to see those trade routes through. And they're kind of on the pro-Russia side. It's a weird thing, but
the
Sultan.
Uh huh.
And so there's all these geopolitical leanings that play into it and ulterior motives that already existed before the quote-unquote end. I want to think we're in the end of COVID. I know we're probably not. We're probably not even started with COVID. Ah!
Well, let's not go that far. Okay. That's kind of, yeah.
But it's just, there's no excuse is where I'm going with this. And there's also a P&O cruise line division that they own separate from the ferry division. And it's just lousy because people do depend on P&O ferries to get across to France and Europe from Dover.
Right.
But, and there's huge protests going on right now at Dover town. Mm-hmm. Like the displaced workers are out there with signs and it's ugly. I mean, that's
a
lot of workers.
Isn't it interesting how we have to dig for the news? I mean, do have to dig for the news.
You mean for the news that really matters?
Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, talking heads all over the place. But I find, I listen to NPR. I enjoy NPR, but I don't get the news. We get some, you know.
I felt the same way, just that I'm digging. I like Twitter for that reason. I find all these weird one-off things.
And then you can go down that rabbit hole. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Try not to.
I like rabbit holes, though.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably name the top five stories in the news right off the top of your head.
Sure.
And that's all.
Right. Yeah. I didn't know anything about protests in Dover, and I've been looking at this whole situation.
Okay. Yeah.
So I didn't know that. And that, go, you people. So we're talking about all these awful things that have happened to us, and maybe they have some good endings, and we have some positive ways that we're working with things. But you know what? I read an article titled, "It's Still the Apocalypse. Let's Give Ourselves and One Another Some Grace."
Yes.
Did you guys read that?
Yes, it was wonderful. I passed it on to many of my friends and family.
We've been dealing with so much personal and professional, I don't even, angst? Is that the word?
Yeah.
Among people that you love, people that you work with. And I went to the doctor the other day, and I said, are you just seeing lots and lots and lots of stress? And she said, you have no idea.
Oh,
every
my.
Person wow. who comes in here, she said, I'm prescribing more antidepressants, more anti-anxiety. Blood pressure is up. She said, people are anxious and upset. And, you know, part of that is giving ourselves a break. From the stress. And just, you know, you're doing okay, girl. You're doing okay, you know.
Gosh, and as an environmentalist, when I hear you say she's prescribing all kinds of antidepressants.
I know. Don't pee it and it goes back to ocean. Right.
I know. I think about that too.
Be miserable.
I know.
No, they're going to be dead. Really happy. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but
or dead.
I don't know what the answer is. A lot of times I think antidepressants are sort of like a panacea. Here, take this pill. Well, but yeah. sometimes you really need them, you know.
I have a
sometimes
loved one who really needs them.
Yes, I do too. Mm-hmm. I do too. But one of the things this article emphasized is that we are all thinking in our man-made mind that we're working in normal circumstances. Things are normal. This is normal. I expect this out of myself. I expect this out of my friends. Well, and then we feel guilt or shame because we didn't produce or we didn't do what we could have done 4 years ago. And so failing to meet those standards that were set up in a different time is being really hard on ourselves because those standards have changed. You don't have to be perfect anymore. You don't have to have all the things that you thought you did. Everybody's suffering. Everybody's suffering, and we're all in denial about it.
I appreciate that. Because when I walked in here before we went on the air, that was exactly what I was whining about. And I didn't even, it's so pertinent because I was saying now, even though what I thought was my business was going to taper down and I was going to get some time just to fart around.
Yeah.
It's still busy. And it's a good thing, but it's also not a good thing because I'm really looking forward to sleeping in and just going out and playing with the baby birds and in the dirt. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I don't, but then I make my own schedule. So then what's the matter with me? Why don't I just block off more days a week? It's just like, I struggle with this so much.
Is that you don't have the strength to look up and say, this is nuts.
You know, we need to rethink the word, lazy?
Right.
You know, if I don't get it all done.
And don't vilify it.
And I don't feel complete or I just don't feel like I've had a good day if I don't get it all done. We need to rethink that because in our daily life, I believe we should map some time for putting your feet in the dirt, you know, going for a walk in the forest, sitting around. And it's not lazy.
No.
And we just need to be okay with
it. It's taking care of the most important machine in your life.
Good way to put it.
Your earth suit, yeah.
It's true. It's been really challenging. And I was that person at the office who would side-eye people if they weren't that
ninja
or productive or...
Oh, she's just talking on the phone.
I was just the worst.
I know. I've done it too.
Going, I'm just this horrible machine.
Well, above all, we just need to give ourselves some grace. Be graceful with your friends. I mean, we're all going to make mistakes. And yet, most of us, I think, are doing the best we can. I really think we are. Lazy, you know, I can kind of be lazy sometimes, but now I'm rethinking that word.
Yeah,
I'm resting. Resting is what we need
resting
to do.
Resting is the way to restore.
It's been a long winter. I love it that spring is here and, you know, walking around the neighborhood, seeing things. And now that our literal winter is over.
Yay.
while we wait for the ground, let's just give ourselves some grace to rest, to restore some energy. And we can pass that on to some of our friends, you know.
Yes.
Like... I met with a friend early this morning for coffee and she was having a bad day, bad, bad, bad day. Mm-hmm. And in the end, we just had coffee. She cried a little. I cried a little. We had coffee. And in the end, we just hugged and I said, I love you. And she said, I love you too. And I said, you're going to be okay. And she said, oh, thank you.
Aww.
You know, people need a little bit more tenderness right now. And I found a meme that I loved, and I don't know if I sent it to you or not, but it said, tell all your friends how much you love them all the time. Make it weird.
That's so great.
You know, it is. Because people don't say I love you. I have a quick 30-second story I want to tell you about that. There was a guy, I was in the parking lot. There was a young, he's kind of dark skinned. I couldn't tell, you know, he was darling, and he was saying goodbye to his wife, and she was in the car. He was standing by the car, and I was right next to them with my window open, and they were murmuring and talking. And then he said, in Spanish, he said, I love you.
Aww.
And it just made my heart full. Aww. And so when he left, I said, oh, I love you. And he turned around and looked at me like, who are you, lady?
That's so cute.
And then he said, I love you.
You normally.
He did in the grocery
store. Spanish?
Yeah. And we both spoke in Spanish. I didn't know it was coming. I left. I'll never see him again. It was fabulous. Tell everybody you love them.
Random act of I love you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we're out of time. Oh, gosh.
You're listening to KVSH LP Vashon. We'll see you next week.
101.9. Tune in. Thank you. Bye-bye.